Hi, I'm Eric Nakamura, and I'm doing a podcast with Lynn Chen at the Bungalow Cafe, and what is it, brewery or something
it's,
like that?
It's the Larchmont Bungalow.
Larchmont Bungalow.
On Larchmont.
Okay, on wonderful Larchmont, which is east of La Brea.
Yes, not west.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So it's kind of like a cafe, just so you know. So there's going to be a little background noise, but this should work. Anyway, so Lynn, first time I ever seen you in anything was Saving Face. And ironically, or is it not ironic? I don't know, but it was kind of ironic. You're playing like a lesbian character, right? And was that your first 20 or first roles in a film?
Yeah, that was my very first feature film that I had ever done, and it was definitely one of my first leading roles in anything. And I really, it's funny, when I went into it, very naively thinking all movies were going to end up being like that experience. And, you know, 6 years later, looking back, I see just how special and unique it was.
I know when that came out, probably people thought you were a lesbian, right?
Yes, they definitely did. I was riding the subway with Michelle after the movie came out, and we were both with our respective male partners. And these two lesbian women came up to us and totally ignored, you know, our dates, and were like, "Wow, it's you!" And I think they thought we were really like Will and Vivian on our way to go visit Ma.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was really funny actually, because they could not care less about the guys that we were with. People asked a lot if I was a lesbian, and I told them the truth, which is that I'm not. But yeah, that sentence doesn't come up a lot. But lesbian fans are loyal. I still hear from them.
Yeah, this is like years later.
Yeah, they're very loyal. I'm really happy to have them.
How far does that carry? I mean, does that kind of it still comes up today to these days?
I definitely hear from people from the GLBTQ community all the time about how that movie changed their life, or how it, you know, they showed it to their mom or their dad, and you know how it helped them come out. It's really been amazing, the stories that I've heard and the letters that I've received. Really personal stuff.
But then you tell them, "Oh no, but I'm not. I'm whatever, straight. I'm married."
It's okay.
I mean, they're okay with it.
Yeah, they're totally fine with it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you still get invited? You were mentioning something about Elffest.
Yeah, yeah. I still get invited to various events like that because
it's all based on one film?
Yeah. And I'm grateful.
That's awesome. Can you talk more about how I don't know what happened to that film? Like, you know, how was it more special? Because it's already feels like it's been how many years? Since
it's
that?
Been it's well, so it's been 6 years since that movie came out. We went to Sundance in 2005, so I think of that as when we sort of were out released to the public. It was, first of all, probably everyone says now, since Saving Face came out, indie film has really changed, and just that, for me, I have done mostly very micro-budget films comparatively. But even when I was doing Saving Face, everyone just kept talking about what a small budget it was, and at $1 million for the movie. It was a small budget for the time, and you know, comparatively to a lot of films now, but I feel like the movies I do now are much, much, on a much smaller scale. So the luxury of that, being able to have rehearsals and a makeup artist and just all those little things that you take for granted, that was really nice to have that for more than, let's say, 2 days.
How'd you get that role? Because that's like a big first role, I guess, right?
Yeah, I really worked my ass off, literally.
Okay.
for that role. I initially auditioned for it the same way most actresses do. They saw a lot of actresses for both my part and Michelle's. Actually, Michelle even went in for my role originally. And they were seeing people for months, and I went back a number of times to test with different people, and I always knew that I was one of their first choices because they made it very clear to me, and they asked me to lose weight for the role because she's a ballet dancer, and so I knew that they were pretty serious about me, and I took it pretty seriously. So yeah, when I finally got it, it felt as good as, you know, when I got into college.
Okay, so before that, what were you doing?
Before that, I was I was auditioning for other things. I was living in New York. I had been on a few Law and Orders. I had been on All My Children for a year, and just, you know, auditioning, doing the acting
so
thing
those
in
are
New
the
York.
East Coast productions. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I basically hit my wall after I finished all of the Law and Orders, and was like, oh, what do I do now?
So in Law and Order, which ones were you on?
My very first one that I was on, you know, they're ripped from the headlines.
Sure.
It was based on the Chinese food delivery man who was killed by a bunch of teenagers. Do you remember that whole story?
I remember that, actually.
So it was based on that, and I played his niece, the man who gets murdered in the episode, who forgot to write the number down on the ticket.
Oh.
And, you know, I feel bad and I break down and cry. And that was how I got my SAG card.
Cool.
I wasn't a union member at the time, but I think I was one of the only actresses who was able to cry on cue. Funnily enough, in the actual day of shooting, I was not able to actually cry, but during the callback and everything else, I was fine. It was a really high-pressure situation for me because it was my first time ever on a set. So, you know, and I just wanted to do a good job, and it was hard. I didn't even know what, like, a mark was. I didn't know.
So when you do one Law & Order, does that mean you get on another one? Because I've seen Law & Order a lot. So I've seen the same characters, but same actor playing different roles across the different Law & Orders.
Yeah,
so
a lot of...
Is that like a contract? You sign one, you sign three, or...
No.
Okay.
A Law & Order is unlike a lot of shows in that they will rehire the same actor to play different characters. A lot of other shows do that.
As if they think we're not going to notice.
Yeah, exactly.
I noticed.
Exactly.
I've seen a lot. So I'm
exactly.
like, oh, that person again?
Right.
You know?
Well, maybe it's because the pool of actors isn't as large in New York.
I don't know. Isn't there like a billion people in New York?
Yeah, I know. It's really sad. But I have, you know...
A lot of restaurants.
There's a lot
of waitresses. Lots of actresses, right?
I know. Well, you know, they want their people to cry on cue.
Okay.
They just have that written. That's just something that their producers decided was okay. And, you know, I guess they thought their audiences are savvy enough that they'll be able to let go of the old character and not be distracted.
So, were you on SVU also?
I was on SVU.
Oh, that one's a good one.
I played a rape victim.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe you don't want to be on that one, but
yeah.
I guess you want to be
that one was hard also because, you know, I was, like, all bruised, and it's hard to watch. Like, my husband, when he watches it, like, does not like to see it.
Do you just have that one on DVD in your...
Yeah, well, and sometimes it's on the air, we'll come across it and be like, oh, geez. And then I was on the Trial by Jury. That one was very short-lived, and I played the assistant to one of the trial, a jury expert, like a very high-priced jury expert. It sucks because it was a recurring role.
What was that episode?
Pilot.
But Trial by Jury, what was that show?
Law and Order Trial by Jury was a show about just the jury system, selection.
Who was the star in that one?
Was Candace Bergen in that?
Wasn't Jerry Orbach supposed to be, wasn't he on that one too, actually?
He was supposed to be.
Right? Like, now they're giving him his own kind of real, you know, where he gets to sort of shine on that one. Then he passed away.
Yeah.
Right? But I think that was I kind of remember that.
That whole show, it only lasted a few episodes, so my character never got a chance to come back, which sucks. That would have been really nice. So the Law & Order is on my children.
So how do you cry on cue? What do you think about?
Because
I know there's something...
It varies for different roles. Back then, I mean, I have a lot of different techniques that I use, and I try to just pull them all out of the bag if it's not working. But usually it's just about getting into that character's mindset and staying there. And, you know, sometimes when you're on a set, it gets really distracting because you're... You know, there's so many people watching you, and you're thinking about other things, and the more you think about, geez, I need to cry, the less it's going to happen. So, you know, it's funny, because on, not Surrogate Valentine, I was going to say Surrogate Valentine, because it's also SV. On Law & Order SVU, I had a little bit of trouble working up the tears for my big crying scene, and the director, you know, very... smartly just was like all right, everyone out of the room, came up to me, like, talked to me very softly and said to me, you know, take as much time as you want, we'll just be here, and when you're ready, just let me know.
Wow.
And, you know, that took a lot of pressure off, you know, even though I was like, oh, TikTok, this is like $100 a minute, you know.
Right.
But you know, that helped, you know, it just took me 5 minutes and and we went in and I was able to do it.
Cool.
But I think, you know, probably what happened with the first one was I was like, you know, TikTok $100 a minute, I am not able to do this. God, what's wrong with me? And I wasn't able to, you know, finally get the tears going.
Okay, so that's how you cry on cue.
Well, that's how I cried on cue 7 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Nowadays, I do it, but I haven't had to do it for a movie in a while.
Okay.
So you know, auditions, no problem. The stakes are a lot less
so
high.
So when you're going on auditions, are you going for roles that are specifically Asian or Asian American, or are you ever just battling? You're in a room full of white girls, basically, and you're like, okay, I guess I'm playing one of you guys.
I'm one of them.
You know, yeah.
It's both.
Uh-huh.
It's both. Definitely when I first started, it was all always Asian, but that's also because I was represented by a woman who only represented Asian actors. That's how I got my start.
Uh-huh.
That's how I got in the room. But lately, it's been a mix. You know, when I first moved out to LA, I was doing a lot of different types of roles where it would be me and like a Latina woman and an African American woman.
It sounds,
you know,
like one of those Bring It On
like,
movies or something. Cheerleading?
All going in for the same part. And, you know, it was obvious that they were like, we just don't know what we want. Let's just bring a flavor of each and see what they see what they're in the mood for.
The Benetton ad just showed up, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and if we feel like this, we'll choose her, and if we feel like this, we'll choose the other one.
Cool. So like I saw Lakeview Terrace.
Yeah.
You were in that, and I actually that was kind of like a small role, but I saw it. I'm like, hey, what are you doing in this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That was a really odd movie.
Yeah. That was a cool movie to get because it was in the middle of shooting White on Rice, so I actually flew back and forth to shoot that, and then it was night shoots, so it was just very...
That movie was freaky.
Very confusing. And Neil Labute was the director, and he runs his set so differently from how Dave runs his set, and they're both from Salt Lake.
Oh, is that considered a low-budget movie? I mean, that was had...
Yeah, that's
Samuel
funny.
Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, I know, but, that was considered low-budget, but yet we had, like, a coffee cart on set at all times.
Okay. So, you've worked with Dave Boyle twice now.
Yeah.
Right? How did you get to the first one on White on Rice? How did you get that job?
That was also auditioning.
Just a plain audition.
Plain
he didn't
audition.
Already know you. Because it seems like a lot of his roles, like, he knows people, so he's kind
right.
of, like, casting people that he's met, but not necessarily, it doesn't seem like he's doing these auditions.
Well, Dave made me audition. We had met through James Kyson Lee. We met, actually, across the street at a different coffee place.
Oh, wow, one of the eight or seven.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And we met me, him, and Michael Lerman, who's the producer, and just had coffee and talked. And then about a month later, he started the audition process and had me, excuse me, he had me come in a few times to read for the role of Ramona. And I got it.
Cool. Like, do you even know who else you're up against on these?
Oh yeah, all my girlfriends.
Isn't that weird?
A little. I mean,
you're kind of you're friends with these people. Maybe not the closest friends, but you're friends, right?
Yeah.
But then you're kind of like having to battle each other every other week for a role.
Well, it's funny, and yeah, since you know I've been doing this over a decade, I've learned to. It doesn't really help to look at them as your competitors or your enemies. For myself, you know, it makes me feel bad because I see them so often and we are friends. What's more helpful for me is to be happy that we're all in this together, sort of, and that, you know, we all have very unique attributes to ourselves and personalities that, you know, there's a reason I get cast. It's, you know, because I have something that they don't, and if they get cast, they're unique also. You know, we're not all the same.
So what do you have? Now that you mention that, what do you have? Can you mention that? Like,
I think I'm a little more nerdy than most of the other girls that I know. I'm a little, I mean, I'm dressed in a sweatshirt right now. Most of the actresses I know would not go for an interview with somebody.
Oh, but you know me.
Yeah, I know you, but even if I didn't, I probably would have as well. I'm just a lot more low-key. I like video games. I don't really care about the whole superficial side of a lot of things, and I've been told, and I've been told that something that separates me from most actresses is that I am on time for things that most actresses aren't, but I don't know. I think there's some actresses who do accents really well, and some actresses who are much more character actors and dramatic and really good at improv, and, you know, those are strengths that I have to develop a little bit more. But, you know, if they're getting it, that's probably one of the reasons why.
Are you going to, like, acting workshops or stuff like that, or are you kind of just doing it? Like,
I have.
Yeah?
I have. I find that for myself, though, personally, I'm not somebody who thrives in an academic, artistic environment. Like, when I went to school, I initially started off as a music and acting double major and quickly dropped the acting part. because I don't do well in that situation. And the same went for me. I ended up sticking with my music major, but anything that didn't have to do with performing, all the theory and history classes, I did horribly in. I just get so in my head, and it doesn't really help me when I'm actually creating the art itself.
But you're doing it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have taken classes, but I haven't in a few years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you just kind of turn it on?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, the education for me has been more be actually doing the work, being on the set. That's where I feel like I've been learning the most.
But does that mean, are there limitations on that? Like, if someone says, hey, you're going to be in a super slapstick comedy, out of control kind, you know, Jim Carrey, out of control, you've got to go out of control. Can you do that? Because that's kind of like a little different, right?
I would go, yeah. I would go and take classes. I definitely,
oh, take classes,
you know, yeah, I would, or I would coach with somebody,
okay.
Or I'd put myself in a situation where I wasn't comfortable just so I would get comfortable with the idea of being uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely would prepare in that scenario. But for the most part, I'm not, I actually am at the point right now where I'm just too busy to be taking a class. I mean, there are some classes that I've heard about that I'm interested in, but, you know, they require a lot of commitment, and I just don't have the time for that commitment right now.
Huh. Is there a specific goal, like to be, you know, play lead roles all the time type of thing? Is that kind of a goal, or is it just keep working, or do you have a specific kind of thing in mind?
My goals, I used to goal set. I don't goal set anymore, just because there's so little control that you have.
How about none?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I had my freaking vision board for a year, and then one day I, like, tore it down and was like, no more, and I've never been happier.
Yeah, I think in this world, or also economy, but just world, it's so hard to tell, right? I'm sure, like, feature films even, there's less money involved.
Yeah.
Like, even in indie, it's, like, more scraping than ever. Thank God that there's at least video, you know, digital cameras that can now shoot video. So
right.
People can actually
just do it yourself.
Yeah, make movies on the cheap. Just like a regular SLR camera, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of came at the right time. I'm glad. Because imagine if everyone's trying to make film these days. There'd be, like, so many less productions.
I know. And then, you know, that's something that, like, my husband and I, we made a short film called Via Text that is going to San Diego and Hawaii pretty soon, and we just made that film just to make it just me and him, just because we were bored, you know. And I love that you can do that, and that now we have the opportunities to go and, you know, hang out with our film at these festivals.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, you create your own opportunities for yourself because people aren't really going to give them to you all the time.
So, what do you think about, like, the Asian American cinema thing? Because I guess you've been in that for the last bunch of years.
6 years.
Have you seen a change in just 6 years at all?
Well, definitely the community is growing, and, you know, more and more people are taking risks, and more people are getting into this industry because I think they see that you can do it. So we have a lot more younger filmmakers, actors, and artists creating works and getting a fan base. It's pretty cool. The community is really tremendous, I have to say, and has given me opportunities to feel like I'm living, you know, I'm living this life as an artist, whereas I know a lot of my friends who don't have that kind of community feel very alone, and I don't feel alone. I definitely feel like I have comrades in this.
Does that mean more competition?
It means more competition, yes, but at the same time, it's like, it's familial, you know? It really does feel that way. When somebody who I've worked with before is making a movie, it's really nice, and even if I'm not a part of it, to go support them.
How about storytelling? Have you seen a change in storytelling in the 6 years? Like, it's shifted from one kind of a thing to another?
It has and it hasn't. It's interesting. Sometimes I'll read a script and I'll be like, wow, this was made, you know, a long time ago, and right. we're still telling the same story.
Right.
But for the most part, I think people purposefully try to stay away from that, and that's good because, you know, it makes them stretch. They don't want to fall into stereotypes too much. So
that was the knock on Asian American cinema,
right?
For like maybe 8 to 10 years ago. It's kind of like everyone was telling that same exact story,
that
family story, that same Asian American marginalized kind of a marginalized man or something, right? Story.
Right.
Yeah, I think that was kind of maybe overdone a little bit.
Right. So it's nice because, you know, people are actually trying to break that mold.
Sure, Asians do murder
actively.
Too.
Yes, and exactly.
Asians steal and break things and get into fights and all these other
things.
And they rob banks. They do all these things. It's not just being at home mad.
Yeah, well, you know, and the other thing is, like, I remember when I first started, everyone was like, you need to learn Mandarin better. You need to take a karate class, you need to do ... all these things because that's how you're going to work. And I am grateful that I haven't had to do any of those things because it's not really my interests or what I feel I'm good at. So I'm grateful that there are opportunities to do things that don't require me to have those kinds of skills.
You ever do an accent?
I have actually. One of the very first things that I did, oh, this is horrible, was for the Olympics. Fu Ming Sha, do you know her? She's a diver, a very good diver.
I don't know.
Excellent diver for the China team. You know, they do those Olympic profiles.
Right.
So one of the very first professional jobs I ever had, they wanted somebody to translate for her, and they wanted it in an accent. And so my audition was to, like, just leave a message on this producer's phone. And I was like, I remember saying to my husband, like, I don't even know how to do this. I'm just going to do, like, the most racist-sounding thing ever and see what happens, like, because I don't know what else to do.
Right.
I'm just going to go totally balls to the wall, over the top, and I got it.
Wow.
I got that job. Yeah.
Doing an accent?
Crazy accent.
So would you do accents in a movie if someone says, hey, we need you to play whatever?
It depends on the context. I think I would have to talk to them. It depends on the project. And it depends, like, you know, I don't know if I can. I mean, yeah, I would.
Uh-huh.
I think I would. It really depends on a lot of factors. And I probably, if there was a lot of it, a lot of accenting involved, I would probably get coached for it.
I remember, you know? Go was there was a short, like, a not an audition, but it's kind of like they were just looking for people on the street to play in a commercial.
Right.
And then, like, he found out it required an accent, and he was just, like, pissed. He was like, fuck no, I'm not doing this. And he was just, like, angry because he was just like, because I didn't, you know, I remember I was there and I was, like, watching this person videotape him with a home camera just to get him on camera.
Right.
Pre-audition thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, he found out later and needed to have that accent.
Yeah, well, I've definitely...
He was so mad.
I've definitely walked out on situations that have required accents that I haven't felt are worth it.
A
commercial or a student film or something like that,
that
I'm just like, this really is not worth my time to even do this.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny that people still have to do that or try to do that.
Yeah.
It bugs me.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, then I know you did the movie with Quentin Lee. Right?
Yes.
People I Slept With. What was that like compared to the David Boyle type of productions? Because, you know, you've done two of those now.
Yeah.
His sets have to be different.
They are different.
Uh-huh.
They are different. You know, that movie, it's funny. The reason I was cast for that movie was because Karen Anna Chung and I often get mistaken for one another all the time.
Uh-huh.
And so when they were writing this, they were like, oh, let's just have Lin Chen play the sister. So I was one of the first people on board after Karen to be cast. And so it was just so comfortable, you know, showing up on that
set.
Seems
like they must have built it around you guys.
Yeah. It was just, it was working with friends, working with people who, you know, like James Shigeta, who
is old school.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, it was just like, it was really fun, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's just like working with friends. And that's what it's like now, working with Dave, you know, because now we know each other.
Right.
There's something about working with people that you already know and trust that's really, it allows you to relax. I could cry on cue on neither of their movies if they wanted me to, because I'd be so relaxed.
But on that movie, like, what's it like? I mean, do you think you look like Karen Anna Chung?
I don't. And okay. anyone who knows us doesn't think so, but... Right. That said, even when we were doing Q&As, when we were promoting people I slept with, we would tell people that that was the reason why I was cast, and then they'd come up to her afterwards and be like, I loved you in White on Rice.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and we'd be like, no.
So that's sort of like the Aaron Yu, Leo Nam thing, right?
Exactly.
Nam thing. Like, that happens all the time for them. They said that they get mistaken all the time.
All the time.
You guys don't look like each other at all.
And if you know them at all, you know.
But actually, if you watch that one movie, that baseball movie where they actually play brothers.
I never saw that.
Yeah. There's problems in that where I was on a jury at a film festival and we watched that. And I remember, because we watched it privately, three people on the jury at a film festival, we kept saying, which one is that? And we were all Asian and we're watching this thing, still like having problems. Because I think it's because they're both wearing a hat or they're both kind of, it was weird. We were having problems and I was like, how come?
Because well, that's why I cut bangs.
Oh, okay.
for people I slept with, because I showed up on set the very first day and was like, you know, she was like, how do you want your hair to be in this movie? Karen's going to have hers curled for most of it. And I was like, well, that's how I usually have my hair in movies. And I was like, so that would be way too confusing. Let's do something dramatic. Let's cut bangs. And so they did. And so I had bangs for those couple months. But I'm not going to have bangs again. Unless Karen and I are in another movie. Actually, she has bangs right now.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
I haven't seen her in a little while.
Yeah, she has bangs.
Cool. So, like, Surrogate Valentine was kind of to me, almost a surprise. I didn't expect it to get to so many international film festivals.
It's been cool.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of going to do its Asian American run and then maybe get into a few, but it's gotten into some really good big film festivals.
Yeah, our very first one was South by Southwest.
Yeah, well, it's got music, so I thought maybe there's a music thing, but then it actually got into ones that aren't music film festivals, and it's done pretty well.
Yeah.
When that kind of happens, what happens to a role like yours or a person like you? Do you get any more attention out of that, or is it just so indie that it's still kind of...
It's still pretty indie, you know.
Below the radar for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and even, like, in promoting it, it's so indie. Like, you know, I'm not being flown out to promote it or anything. Which is what I got to do for Saving Face, which was lovely. You know, I got to go all over
They had a budget.
All over the place. Yes, exactly.
Right,
Sony Pictures Classics dime, basically. Yeah.
Because even the opening scene had either it was generic or they shot it, but it was like a helicopter tracking
shot. That was stolen from Hitch when they were...
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, because I saw that.
They had their helicopter guy from Hitch, the same producer.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
ended up getting that shot.
Okay, because I was like, oh, that's a lot of budget.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, what, a helicopter shot?
Yeah, that's what that's from.
I was like, okay, either that or they just bought stock footage and shoved it.
No. Yeah.
Okay. That was like a memorable thing. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Cool. The second film, the Saving Face one that's upcoming, you're playing yourself again, right? Now, when did you find out...
Surrogate Valentine,
sorry.
Yeah.
When did you find out that they were going to redo that or do that sequel? Like, did you know right away that there's going to be a sequel?
No, I didn't know
until... Indie films don't do sequels.
Yeah, indie films don't do sequels.
Yeah.
And we'll find out if it's going to be a good idea or not.
Right.
I found out... maybe when we started the film festival circuit.
Uh-huh.
That's when I found out, actually. And I found out through the trades, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think I read it in an article and was like, and that was when we first started doing film festivals, and I saw Dave and I was like, sequel? Am I going to be in it? So, it's pretty cool. I'm excited about it.
What about the third one? Have you heard
of that? Yeah, I heard there's a third one, too. That's crazy. Who does that?
And then in 10 years, do they do the first three before the prequel?
Yeah, that'd be... Well, they'll have to find someone else, obviously, to do that. But that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, go in Rachel in high school. That would be awesome to see them making their flower baby.
Did you think that was something kind of like... I don't know. Just, again, that I think... Does that kind of lead to, like, today's ability to make films... maybe cheaper? Is that kind of where you think that's where that kind of comes from? Because if this was, again, rolling 16 millimeter film, I don't know if you would
you wouldn't be able to do that. And you know, the great thing about doing your own films now is that you know you're going to have an audience. That was the thing with, like, you know, me saying, like, having a community is so important. The reason why my husband and I made this movie is because we knew we'd get it seen. If not online, then we could, you know, go to film festivals and just have an audience already. It's nice to know that.
Well, you're also using your own, like, you know, stardom, right? Lin Chen, you're in it. That helps. That makes a difference, right? Especially if you're going to, like, Asian American film festivals.
Right.
That's like a, you know, you're automatically, I don't say you're automatically in, but, you know, that helps a lot.
Yeah, it does. It does. It definitely does help. And it's nice to have that plate, right. That forum. I'm so glad that these festivals exist for that reason.
Yeah, that's cool. There's a whole little circuit of them. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So when's the last time you auditioned for a non-Asian American role or Asian film role?
Actually, I auditioned for a Broadway play not too long ago that's written for an African American woman. So
did you get it?
No, I don't know. Well,
oh, okay.
We'll see. but I audition a lot for roles that aren't specifically Asian American. Oh. Actually, I get excited when I see that it is specifically Asian American, because I know that there's pressure on the studio or the network or whoever. There's a reason why it's written that way. It's because they want to fill a quota or whatever, diversity incentives.
Right.
So I know the chances of actually booking it are higher.
Right.
And especially if it's a well-written part, I get really excited.
Like TV? It's a lot of TV.
TV,
like, right?
Yeah, TV.
Right.
But, you know, for the most part, it's a little bit of everything, you know? Uh-huh.
Is it like a hospital ones?
Hospital?
I don't know. Well, there's a lot of Asian doctors, right? I figure that's where
I don't really go in for a lot of
really?
Those. I go in for a lot of, like, girlfriends and detectives and...
You being a detective?
Yeah, right? Right? Now you know why I'm not booking them, because...
I can see, I think you've played a lot of girlfriends, right?
I play a lot of girlfriends, right. A lot of love interests.
Why is that? Why do you think?
Because that's what happens with women, unfortunately.
Oh, not always, though, right?
Yeah.
Like SVU, Mariska Hargitay, she's not going to play a girlfriend.
You're right.
Sorry.
You're
ever.
Right.
She's like
I have to grow into those roles. I still got a few years where I have to...
Well,
I have a baby face.
She's older, but she is just tough. Even if she's young, there's no girlfriend. No, that woman is meant to fight.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Maybe she took those martial arts classes when she was younger.
Maybe. Yeah, I noticed that. You do play a lot of girlfriends. You play the pretty girl. You play, like, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Not bad, right?
No, not at all.
Right?
That's cool. You know, I try to bring a little something else to those roles in addition to that. You know, like...
You still got to earn your keep.
You got to earn your keep. There's, you know, you want to give the audience what they want, but at the same time, you want to make it interesting for yourself. You know, the last movie I shot was in San Francisco with Perry Shen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was like, I was joking calling it the secret sequel of Sergey Valentine, because you're playing with Perry Shen, which is your, boyfriend character
we have a much more solid relationship
in this one. Okay.
And we have more screen time together. It's called Yes, We're Open. It's Rich Wong's newest movie, written by H. Pin Mendoza.
Oh, okay.
And
it's not a musical.
It's not a musical.
Okay.
Even though their last two collaborations were. No, it's a very indie sex comedy.
Really?
Yeah.
Asian Americans having sex on
a
screen?
A lot of sex.
Wait, there's a trend of these happening now.
There is a lot of sex in it. And it was so much fun. And just, that was another one of those experiences of going. And I didn't actually know Rich or HP, but now we're friends. But, you know, working with Perry, and I got Sheetal Sheth involved. She's an actress who I've worked with before, and we're good friends. And when they were looking to cast the other women in it, they were asking me if I knew actresses. I named a bunch, and Sheetal's name came up, and she ended up doing it, and was great, you know, because we were all on location. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know, you know, it was such a low budget. We didn't know what to expect, so...
Where does the sex happen?
Throughout the entire movie. I mean, the movie's about a couple exploring an open relationship.
So did that happen in Gary's apartment? You know, Gary? He's like one of the producers of Surrogate Valentine.
Yeah.
I know... Perry stayed there. Did he know that those were shooting in his apartment?
No, we didn't actually shoot there.
Okay.
We didn't actually end up shooting there. We shot at other people's apartments.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Tell me about one other thing. I know you do this actor's diet,
mm-hmm.
but you're ironically not eating anything.
Yeah, right. I'm about to go to San Gabriel Valley to eat shaved ice.
Oh, okay. But can you tell me about that? Because... I guess I know a lot of people that are acting, they starve themselves, they're not eating, or they don't eat much.
Yeah.
And I do know some that eat a lot, but they're just not worried about their weight or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, they just kind of go with the flow. But
yeah.
I know a lot of skinny actresses.
Yeah. Well, the reason I started it was because I had eating disorders for many years. You know, I mentioned before that something that I was asked to lose weight for Saving Face. And that was, you know, I had already been a binge eater since I was like a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's something that I think is pretty, I found is pretty common in Asian cultures. Binge eating because of
what's that exact definition?
The definition of binge eating is overeating emotionally.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, well, see, there you go. I know this because I started another blog called Thick Dumpling Skin about Asians eating disorders and body image, and I just hear all the time from Asian readers who submit their stories.
I know that that's like a, I mean, Asians used to be looked at as always all skinny anyway, right?
Right. There's a stereotype that
Asians are skinny
Asians
and short,
just,
right? Yeah.
Well, the whole thing is like, you know, Asians have such great metabolisms. They can eat, you know, tons and tons and tons of food. I mean, look at a lot of the world champion overeaters.
They are overeaters.
What are they? They're competitive eaters.
They're all
skinny Asians who like weigh less than 100 pounds you know, bury everyone else under the table, eat everyone else under the table. So there's the stereotype that that's what Asians are able to do. And for me and a lot of other Asian people, there was like no way to switch that off button, and I balanced it out with anorexia for many, many years. And
you were anorexic?
I was anorexic and a binge eater at the same time.
During Saving Face time?
Yeah.
That's only 6 years ago.
Yeah, I know. I it's only been about 2 or 3 years that I've been completely free of any of that behavior,
which is
the reason why I started the blog. That was the reason I started, because I wanted to hold myself accountable.
I mean, that was kind of obviously kind of a secret, right?
Yeah. No, it definitely was.
Yeah.
I started the blog because I wanted to hold myself accountable to this. I wanted to not overeat, and I wanted to not restrict myself either. And if I knew if I did it in a public forum, then I wouldn't be able to do that.
Right. You'd be under scrutiny of
your people would be like, that's not enough food, or that's too much food, or something. You know,
right.
it would
be a bust that you're not eating anything.
Right. Well, exactly.
Tell me more about the diet part of it. Like, does that mean, is it just for yourself, or is it to kind of like, are you kind of like suggesting things to eat for actresses?
It's completely a personal journey, and my whole thing is to change the definition of diet from something that where you're counting calories or being very health conscious, because I've tried every diet under the sun, like literally every single diet under the sun, and it's not until I stopped dieting and just ate according to my cravings and listening to my body that I am finally at the place where I always was trying to diet myself down to. And you know, I'm asked all the time now, how do you stay so skinny? You're so skinny. How do you do this? And now I, you know, it's exhausting to explain what you're doing. So I just point them to the blog and say, that's exactly what I'm doing.
I looked at it, but then I have a hard time understanding how that works anyway.
Because, right.
All I know is if I ate what I wanted, I'd probably just, I'd gain a lot of weight, right?
Well,
that's what happens,
maybe,
right?
Maybe. For myself, I thought in the past, you know, that initially when I first stopped dieting, I gained like 30, 40 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, because I was eating whatever I wanted.
Right.
And what I wanted was like shaved ice every single meal, you know, and lots of it. And you know, gradually the novelty of that, of being able to do that, wore off. And I just naturally, over the course of 2 years, like was dropping, you know, weight, because I was eating, you know, naturally my body would crave salads and smoothies and those kinds of foods, and you know, I just naturally ended up at the size I am now. So you know, I kind of just want to show people that you really don't have to resort to those crazy fads and diets. And another reason why I keep at it while I'm actually working is, you know, like on days when I had sex scenes to shoot, I was not, you know, limiting myself. I was eating tartine pastries on the day, you know, like that's what I was eating, because I want to show people you don't need to drive yourself crazy. You really don't.
Right.
It was almost like not even to show people, but to show myself.
Right.
You know, because I don't think I would have done it if I didn't have a blog. I wouldn't have done it because I would have been afraid to do it. And I guess I felt safer, you know, just by doing that, you know, it all turned out fine. The world did not implode, and everything's fine.
But I mean, you go out and eat sometimes, right? Because like
I eat all the time.
I know you have a Rolodex of places you go to.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, if you go on my blog, you'll see a restaurant list that's like a mile long. I've tried pretty much every place in the city, and every new place. I hate the word foodie, but I've turned into quite a little foodie.
So that means I know you make suggestions to people too, right?
Recommend. Eating what's a must-try dish. It's fun now that I go to restaurants. You know, I'm pretty adventurous. I'll try things that I've never tried before. Like I tried this tongue dish at the Gorbals, which is Elon Hall, who won Top Chef. He has a restaurant, and I would have never tried tongue before. But for the purposes of the blog, I did, and I loved it. I loved it so much. I was like pushing it on other people, like a dope fiend, you know, like gotta try this tongue, you know.
I like tongue also.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. They have a very good one.
Cool. Where's that place?
It's downtown.
Okay.
Yeah, they also have a bacon wrap matzo ball that I'm wanting to try.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's good to know. I like hearing that you can just kind of. You're just kind of eating whatever you want.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But you know, I'm not eating bacon-wrapped matzo balls all the time.
No.
You know, I'm balancing it out with, like, either not eating right now or,
whatever
my body craves later on. Usually, I rarely want to eat that more than a few days in a row.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's good, because I'm glad. So what kind of responses have you gotten from the actor's diet?
Tremendous.
I know, I hear about it.
And not only, you know, am I meeting people, you know, just it's a good way to interact with fans and have an audience that way and talk to them, but I'm meeting other bloggers. Like, I never thought I would be part of like the blogging community, and I totally am, and it's a lot of fun. I've met a lot of really cool women and made some good friends, even from people in the LA area. It's cool. It's fun.
So you're a writer now.
I guess also. So, yeah. Cool. It's fun, yeah. And I also am writing a script with a friend of mine. We're developing a script for the both of us to do.
I had no idea that your husband was an actor. Also.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's not?
He's not. He's a filmmaker.
Okay, oh, he makes
movies. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I thought he was an actor too. Okay.
So when we made the film, it was just me and him,
okay.
Like him shooting me.
Oh, tell me about this music thing. You do music.
Oh.
Did I even see a picture? Did I even see a photo? I think I saw a photo.
Okay, YPOK2 was a joke that my husband and I, when we lived in New York years and years and years ago, we started just recording music for fun. You know, we stayed up late and just wrote music and recorded it and put it up on MySpace before anyone knew what MySpace was.
Uh-huh.
We put it up for my family to hear. And when Saving Face came out, people found the MySpace page and were like, oh, you're in a band. Oh. And I had nothing else to talk about, so I was like, yeah, I'm in a band. Awesome! And, you know, it's been how many years since then?
Wait,
we haven't
was,
really
was that kind
anything.
Of like that name? I know where it comes from, right?
It's from the line from The Karate Kid.
Karate Kid, right?
Yeah, you pretty okay, too.
But then I remember, that kind of sounds like the whole NK...
Y2K.
New Kids on the Block,
NKOTV.
I remember that. That was kind of like hot to all of a sudden use all these like letters, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Was that kind of during that time?
I don't know. Well, no. Weird. It was because we got sick of saying you pretty okay, too, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I would love to do music. I like singing. I like playing piano, which is, you know, I was a music major in college.
Right.
But I'm already a struggling actor. I don't need to be a struggling musician as well. That said, if I have time, I sometimes sit and write music for myself. And if I'm brave enough, maybe one day I'll share it with other people. But, I don't really know what I'm doing when it comes to recording and engineering and doing all that stuff. If somebody wants to help me out with it, great. But as of now, I don't have the time or the energy or the money to put into trying to start a music career in addition to everything else I'm doing.
That sounds scary, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Filmmaking's already tough.
And music is really tough. And it's also, you know, it's so personal.
Yeah.
It's so personal. It's, like, easier to be critiqued for, like, a movie because it's not just you and you're playing a character. But for music, it's just, you know, when somebody bashes you, they're bashing you, your soul.
total.
I don't like my soul to be bashed.
So, as you keep acting, is it kind of a long term? Like, you just plan on keep going? Is that kind of the idea?
For as long as I
you don't have any like
as I can. I mean, I've been doing this since I can remember.
Uh-huh.
I've been performing since I was like 4 years old.
Wow.
And I've been taking time. Every 4 or 5 years, I take time off to be a normal kid. I can always remember that being the journey, and then always coming back because it's all I know and it's all I really enjoy doing. So as long as I keep enjoying it, I'm going to keep doing it. And, you know, even I'm not scared of taking breaks. Mm-hmm. I took a break a few years ago to confront my eating disorder. I took a whole year off and I came right back and jumped right back into the game, and it was fine. I think there'll always be roles, and, you know, I'll always grow into different types of roles, and, you know, it's not scary to me anymore, the idea of taking time off.
Are you ready to play different roles? I mean, as time
Absolutely.
Goes, like in 10 years, you're going to play a mom, maybe?
Yeah, I can't
start,
wait.
Like, you know, eventually, right?
That's yeah.
Kind of, I'm kind of noticing, like, some of the people that 10 years ago that I remember from, you know, doing Giant Robot, then also, you know, meeting actresses that are younger, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, you're actually playing a mom. Or
yeah.
You're playing, like, an older character now.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing the older sister. You're playing,
yeah.
You know, these roles where I was like, I could never picture that at intent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But then here they are doing it.
Absolutely. So. I can't wait to do that kind of stuff.
Cool, because that means school teachers. Maybe you're. I don't know if you've done that one yet.
I haven't done school teacher
yet. Yeah. I mean,
oh no, wait.
There,
yes,
right?
I have. I have done
okay,
it.
You've
yeah.
done a school teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting transition, but I like seeing in people how they move on to that next step from
exactly.
being, you know, the young little starlet woman to
right.
like all of a sudden now you're playing like the mature person.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
You've now got to like be wise. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Exactly. The dialogue's a little heavier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's kind of the exciting stuff, I think.
Yeah. No. Definitely.
Yeah. Are you ready?
I am. Bring it on.
Awesome.
Actually, I just realized the other day I'm never going to be able to play a cheerleader, which was one of my like dream roles when I was a kid, because I always went, because of my school, cheerleaders were very popular, and I always wanted to be a cheerleader, but I never was. And I was always like, oh, I can play one in a movie or whatever, and now I'm officially too old.
Dream sequences.
Oh, yeah, you're
happen.
Right.
It can
you're
happen,
right.
It can, right?
It's, the dream's
dream
not over.
You just got to have pigtails,
yeah.
you know? You're... Have someone throw you in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
I would love that.
Yeah, awesome. Anything else I'm missing here?
Let me think. No, I think we covered it all.
Kind of.
Yeah, we talked about it all.
As much as I could think of. But anyway, so then I just want to say thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Fun.
Well, this was a podcast. This is Lynn Chen. I'm Eric Nakamura, and we're still at the Larchmont Bungalow.
Yes.
Yeah, and someone's spray painting a trash can outside.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It's not graffiti. I think he's just painting over graffiti.
Yeah, you're
kinda
right.
Kind of nice. Anyways, thanks a lot.
Bye.